Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Burger Bants, a podcast by Steak and Honour. I'm your host, Charlie. And today, in episode 3 of series 3, I head to Whittlesford to Provenance Kitchen to chat to co-owner Kate Holden. Provenance Kitchen is one of our favourite places to eat, and their Sunday roasts are absolutely phenomenal. I urge you all to head down, if only for the cauliflower cheese. It is absolutely sublime. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
So let's start at the beginning. Oh, firstly, I do want to say, so you're a pescatarian.
I am, yes.
And you're the first non-meat eater we've had as a guest. So I'm actually really excited about this, to hear kind of what you're going to say at the end, what your burger is. So, we'll get there. But first of all, I want to start at the beginning and talk about your childhood, where you grew up and what type of food were you eating kind of round the table and, kind of what were you into as a child?
Okay. Well, I grew up where I still live, which is in a village outside of Cambridge. And I'm one of five children.
Wow.
So mum had many mouths to feed alongside the many childminding kids that kind of joined us in the house. So we had always a very big, full, busy household. And there was a mix. So I became veggie when I was about 8 because one of my sisters... One of my older sisters was vegetarian, and she kind of shared her views. Animal rights was a really big thing back then, and so two or three of the five of us became vegetarian. So my mum had many different dishes to make. So some meat dishes for the meat eaters and some veggie dishes for
Oh, God bless her. I bet that was so tricky for her.
It was. So, but she became really good. So the kind of the main dishes that she made, she'd always do a vegetarian shepherd's pie, and a meat version, and the kind of the best bit about the whole pie was the mashed potato with absolutely shed loads of cheese on top.
It's the best.
Yeah, I love cheesy mash.
Would it go under the grill so it got all kind of like crispy and bubbly?
A little bit of extra salt.
Yes.
Really bad for you, but it just is delicious. And even now, as an adult, you know, if she notices, she can kind of gauge that I'm feeling like really tired or whatever, she might just make her one and bring it round.
Oh my God, I love that.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
And that's a treat because I haven't had to cook, and yeah,
oh,
it just brings back memories. So that's definitely one of my favourite childhood dishes. And the veggie broth that she made. And it would sit on the pan, in the pan on top of the hob for about 3 days, and it would just get better. The taste, the flavour would just get better as the days went on. And it's just loads of different vegetables, root vegetables and stock. And we would just have that with crusty bread. And that
You're literally making me so hungry. It sounds gorgeous. It sounds amazing.
That was really nice. Very basic, but just wholesome.
Yeah.
Really just felt really good for you. And what else? The Sunday roast and like the Christmas dinners, I think, was always a treat. Mum was great at the roasts. We had a hostess trolley in the dining room.
Of course you did.
Retro.
Yeah.
Style. Because again, there's so many of us, you know, just to keep things warm, we'd have the trolley out next to us. And then, yeah, I mean, I think Mum was very much a traditional
home cook.
Dad would try and go a bit more exotic with his curries. He'd add sultanas to them.
Love sultanas in a curry. My dad used to do that too. And even now, sometimes I'll throw some in with the kids when I'm doing them. And it feels so exciting. It's not, but I love a sultana in a curry.
And that's, yeah. And now he'll just go through the cupboards and, you know, he'll be tidying up, just using things up. So he goes very, you know, he'll never follow a recipe. He'll always just chuck something in, and I think that's probably where I get my way of cooking. I don't really follow recipes. I'll just...
Do you like cooking now?
No, not really. I don't need to.
I am the same.
Yeah.
I feel like there's the reason why we married chefs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the thing, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, I eat, most of the time I eat in the restaurant because that's where I spend my time, so I don't really need to cook. And at home, you know, I will cook from time to time, but... Why
bother?
Do that? Why bother when you've got someone in the house that can cook much better than what you can?
Sometimes I offer to, and Leo still says no.
Yeah.
Who would be like, No, it's fine, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. It'll be nicer than what I can make, so sure. Just have that. Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah. That's amazing. So did you do cooking with your mum? Was she quite... Did she get all the children involved? Was she like, get out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Get out of the kitchen and come down when I call you. No, I didn't. I think my only involvement in cooking as a child was at school. I did food tech. Myself and four of my dear friends from sort of play school, who I'm very good friends with still now, we did like our own little after school cooking club where we would bring things like, you know, that really bad dried mashed potato
smash. Mm-hmm.
So we would bring things like smash and beans and make cucumber sandwiches and just get together and just make our own thing. We were probably about 11 or 12 and we would just get together around our friend's house every Tuesday, whatever it was, and just
cook, make something, yeah,
make food together. But that was it, really. Yeah, and I didn't do any cooking with my parents. No, maybe a little bit with my grandparents, but still.
I think this is jet. I mean, some people cooked with their parents, but I think the grandparents thing. A lot more people cooked with their grandparents than they would have done with their actual parents. I just think parents are too busy. I'm too busy. Whereas my mum is really good at baking with the children because she's got the time to do it. Whereas, you know, we just don't. Just crazy busy, like, all the time.
Exactly.
That sounds so idyllic, actually. Like, wholesome broths and, like, lovely comfort food.
Yeah.
Just lovely, wholesome memories.
It was really lovely. And then I'd go around my friends and their parents would... maybe be a bit more into cooking. So I did enjoy things like cheese souffle, which I'd never heard of.
Whoa.
And my friend's mum was just this like absolute pro at cheese souffle, and I'm still like, please make this for me even now. I love it.
I feel like that's posh, that's fancy stuff, cheese souffle.
So going around to my friends then pulling that out when I was used to having, you know, shepherd's pie and meat and veg, well, not meat and veg, but, you know, version plus veg.
So how did you get into the industry? What was your kind of, you went to school, and then at what point were you like, do you know what, I think I'm going to get into hospitality? Was there a path, or did you, you know, was it an accident?
I kind of fell into it. I did work, some of my first jobs were working in pubs in town and you know, shops and things like that. So I think, you know, for me, the people side of it is what brings me a lot of joy, more than, obviously I love the food, but actually the interaction with the public is what I love the most. My background is sales and marketing. I worked in IT security for like probably 15 years. And
I can't imagine you doing that.
Nor can I anymore. And actually, whilst I was in it, I really wanted to get out of it, but it just was
a job.
It was a job, and it paid very well, and it worked with my children and all the rest of it. So, but over the years, I got to the point where I was like, I really want to get out of this. How am I going to do it? And I set up a little business called Willow and Blue, where I was making these upcycling horseshoes, used horseshoes, and decorating them and packaging them up beautifully and selling them directly, but also I sell them through the Country Kitchen, which is Deli and Haslingfield.
Yes.
I do little pop-ups at the Goggs farm shop, and sort of through that time I ended up being made redundant, and so suddenly I was given this opportunity to get out of the industry that I wanted out of, and I went to work at the deli in Haslingfield, the Country Kitchen, which was a cooperative run by I think six women at the time, and I very quickly became a partner there. So I loved that time. It was really, you know, gave me a lot of joy working with the community.
Mm-hmm.
Sourcing lots of interesting different foods. We made food on site as well, so we'd make food to sell, we would do a bit of outside catering, and also just the sort of shop side of things as well. And whilst I was there, one of my friends who lived locally was involved in the very early stages of Provenance, and they asked me if I'd like to get involved and kind of head up the events, the bookings, the marketing, social media and all of that. So I said yes, and I did both the deli and Provenance for a while, And then the provenance side of things just took over, mm-hmm. and ended up, I ended up leaving the partnership at the deli and putting all of my efforts into provenance. I was in 2015.
God, it feels like it wasn't that long ago.
I know.
But that is actually quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, I remember your... What was
the Airstream.
The Airstream. You've still got that, haven't you?
We've still got that. That's now in fixed in our venue, in the Orchard Barn.
In the Orchard Barn. Okay, yeah. But I remember that because it was such a cool vehicle. It's one of those things that everyone kind of wanted because they were just cool.
It was so cool. And it is. I love it. Like, that was such a special time. Like, we would work some fantastic events. All the weddings that we did, everyone was always so happy. We did festivals, the May Balls. You know, obviously, with the trucks. You know, you're going to these events where everybody's happy because it's normally a joyous event, and it's just such a pleasure to be at. So going from working in IT and the dullness of IT security to these fun, energizing events was just amazing. Loved it a lot. And so we did that for, I don't know, I think about 4-5 years, and then we came here to Whittlesford, and the site was empty, and we just moved here to use the space as our prep kitchen.
So were you looking for, when you got the Airstream and you were doing provenance, were you like, we're going to get a place? Or were you just very much like, oh, this is cool, we're doing this? You didn't, okay, right.
We didn't want a place. We were approached by a couple of people who wanted us to open restaurants, and we just said, no, we're very happy. We've got the Airstream. We obviously then had the taco truck, the horse box, our Paria that we would pop up at, do collabs with Thirsty and others. And we were really happy that we were flexibility to just be wherever we wanted to be without the massive overheads of running.
Yeah.
The stresses of running a restaurant.
Which is why a lot of us do it. Starting, that's where everyone, because of that, you don't need to have huge amounts of money. You can start it slowly and you can do what you want, go where you want. And that's always like the dream, or it's the ideology of having that food truck, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then what changed?
We kind of learnt a bit that you were very much reliant on other people's goodwill in inviting you to pop up, inviting you to be part of a collab or whatever. And so we did want a bit more control over what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And so obviously we moved here. We had to move from our original prep kitchen. So we looked around this site as we'd been invited to take it over as a restaurant. We'd said no, but we'd seen that it had an amazing kitchen. And so we contacted the owners and said, you know, we don't want to open a restaurant, but we would really like to hire the kitchen and store our trailers here. So they agreed, and within probably 6 to 8 months of operating the prep kitchen here, we decided actually we could do something with the site. Because originally we were like, oh, it's in the middle of nowhere, it's an ugly building,
I think you guys are absolutely the... You know, what's the saying? If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you did. You built something and people come in their droves. You know, people, you are in a destination restaurant that people come to. So I think that is, you've just nailed that completely.
Thank you.
That kind of foresight to be like, it is in the middle of nowhere, but we'll come to that. But what you do is so great that people will travel for it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the... We've thankfully, having run the food trucks for a few years, run lots of events and weddings and parties for people. When we opened the restaurant, it was really amazing that those people came to support us straight away and still come. That made it.
You had like a bit of a following. Yeah.
And that was great. Well, you know, we're so lucky. We've got so much parking. We've got lots of outside space. The restaurant itself is huge. So it's been, it's been mad to think that, you know, this was our first restaurant and we didn't go, you know, we kind of went straight for
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, you did.
We
went
from nothing to like a 120-seat restaurant and...
Yeah, and you made it look easy as well. Yeah, you just made it look easy. So you opened, is it in January to February time?
We opened in January 2019.
Yeah.
So we'll be 5 years old this coming January.
Wow. Again, that's just gone so quick.
Yeah.
So the ethos of the food, so you cook on fire here.
Cook on fire, always cooked on fire. We cook very simply. We don't over-process any of our cooking. We kind of try to let the ingredients sing and do their thing. Mm. We source locally, you know, from Calixta down the road. We work with local butchers, local fishmongers who use day boats, so the fish is fresh, and obviously try to cook using the seasons rather than going out of that. Yeah, and I guess being a pescatarian, for me it's really important to get well-sourced, to use well-sourced animals whose welfare have been considered, and also to represent the vegetarians. Because going out to eat as I was a vegetarian until probably 2016. Going out to eat as a vegetarian has always been frustrating because it's kind of like often an afterthought. Now things have changed massively, and obviously there's so much more on offer. But over the years, it's been, you know, you've got two options, and that's it. And you know, we try to treat the vegetable as we would our meat, you know, and really kind of like showcase it.
So I think that definitely comes across, and we've been, you know, we love coming here for Sunday lunch. It's the best Sunday lunch in Cambridgeshire as far as we're concerned. It's just amazing. And the collie cheese is epic. Your collie cheese is something else. Like, I can't even, like, we just love it. I think if we came next time, we'd get two, one for the children and one for me and Leo. Yeah. Like, and I love that. I love that that's the thing that I would look forward to eating when I come. And as a meat eater, do you know, surely it should be the massive hunk of lamb or beef, which is absolutely stunning, you know, that all that smoke through it and the char, and amazing. But the collie cheese and then that massive platter of like the charred veg and like, you can tell that. You can see that it's really been thought out in those ways, and nothing seems to be an afterthought and nothing's a mistake. Everything is exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
And you can really tell. It's amazing. What would you say the best part of your job is that you really love?
I would say I love having an input on the menu. I think, you know, again, you know, just being able to represent those that don't eat meat, that eat fish and the veggie options. And so that, I love that. I love people. So I love, you know, just the interaction and the energy that comes in. Just seeing people having an amazing time. Like, that's all we want. All I want is when people come here that they have an amazing time.
Yeah, and they leave happy.
And they leave happy.
With a full belly, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that they've loved their experience and that we've done a good job. And that, I love training the young. You know, we have lots of young people that come and work here with absolutely no experience. Mm-hmm. I love training them up and seeing them sort of stay with us for a few years before they go off to uni, and just seeing them grow, I love that as well.
Yeah, get the confidence in them, and then they can kind of, you let them fly, they go off and then they go on to different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's great.
I love that. I love the event side of things. They can be quite stressful, but I love, you know, we've done a lot more events with the new spaces that we've got. So that's a lot of fun, planning those.
And what lessons have you learned along the way? If you said there's like one big lesson, what do you think you've learned?
God, that's a good one.
Because I feel like you guys, you got the restaurant, and then didn't you just like basically renovate the whole thing yourselves as well?
We did. Yeah, we've done it.
So you've really worked hard and created something.
We've built from the ground. I think it's important to put your love into something. I think hopefully it shows, and that shows through in every way. You know, from through the walls into the food, into the energy in the room.
So back to now, so you've got the restaurant, so it's going to be nearly 5 years old. You've got the Airstream, so you've got it's not supposed to be that new, is it, for you anymore, but you've got the orchard. So tell us a bit about what's happening with the orchard, what you're using it for, and what type of events are you doing back there?
Yeah, so when we moved here, I hadn't realised that the site was quite as big as it was, and having had a very busy service one day, I just took a walk over to get away for a bit and kind of fell upon this orchard and an open-sided sheep barn and sheep dip area, and I just loved it over there. It's peaceful and quiet, and you just feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. It just feels really nice. During the lockdown time, we used that opportunity while the restaurant was closed to renovate it, and the chefs learned how to lay bricks, and we literally rolled our sleeves up, painted the whole barn, emptied the barn of probably 30 years worth of farm rubbish, and turned it into an event space. So our original plan was it was going to be a wedding venue, but actually it feels like it's more going to be for corporate do's and birthday celebrations. We have had a few weddings and have got more weddings coming over the next couple of years, but I can see it being a space really used by anyone for anything.
It looks stunning. When you, I've not been over there, but I've seen your pictures on your socials, and especially when in action, seeing the chefs in action, because they're right there, aren't they? You've had this whole kind of fire pit. It's not even a fire pit, is it? It's all built.
So there's a business, Country Fire Kitchen, that Greg loves, and they hand make these beautiful grills, essentially. It's a huge grill. Obviously, we need to cook all elements on there. So we've got that, we've got a parrilla and a pizza oven. So the only cooking sources that we have over in the barn is all
wood fired,
wood and coal we use. And that's all done in front of
the guests.
There's some theatre, which is nice.
Yeah, I love that. I think you guys have been cooking on fire for years, and there's definitely been like a resurgence of that in the last couple of years. It's become a lot more popular, hasn't it, in places like Brat in London, kind of doing stuff, which I guess it's always a way, isn't it? There's people in London put things, kind of make them pop and put things on the map, but obviously it's something that you guys have been passionate about for a number of years. And I think looking at the whole setup you've got over there, it looks phenomenal, amazing, and so much theatre, and people really getting to see kind of like the talent of the chefs as well, because I'm assuming it's a lot different cooking continually like in that environment than it is being in a normal, I say normal, but like a commercial kitchen. Because the timings and everything, you've really got to know your stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, it's about, you know, like you have to have different cooking areas. You know, you might just be cooking on embers somewhere, and then you've got some smoke going in another part of it. So it is just using all the different parts to do different things. And the guys, a lot of them come without any experience of cooking with fire, but obviously they're amazing chefs and they pick it up, and it's another skill for them, you know, to have.
Yeah, but it's actually quite exciting, because if they're coming from that commercial kitchen environment where it's very almost claustrophobic and small, here they must think it's amazing.
Open kitchen in the restaurant. We've got obviously the hearth that we built when we moved here. Over there you've got the grills, and it's nice for them not to be, you know, down in a basement kitchen. They're amongst the atmosphere and chat. You know, customers that come in, they'll go over and have a chat with the chefs.
Yeah,
and
I love
stuff,
that,
which
well.
Is really nice,
because people are interested, aren't they? They want to know, like, oh, this was great, and how did you do it? And I just think, again, it adds to the whole experience of when you go out to eat and have that really relaxed kind of environment as well. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. How is it working with your partner?
It can be very challenging.
I've put down here, challenging question mark. Because, you're working, you know, in a very stressful environment at times.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we balance each other out. I think that one of our biggest challenges, I would always say yes to many things, whereas I think Greg would be more conservative and say that's too much or no. and then I'd have to demonstrate why it should be yes. But no, I think it's we kind of have our roles. You know, Greg obviously is an incredible chef, and he leads the team on the food side, and I tend to kind of do the other stuff, the sort of operational fixing of
getting the plumbers in.
Yeah, if the roof's leaking, you know, the operational side of things.
Yeah.
And the social media. I think, we balance each other out, and we have to try and have a rule where you try not to talk too much about work at home.
It's tricky, isn't it? It's so tricky.
And definitely not just before you go to sleep.
No, never. Or when one of you's in a really bad mood. It's just like, don't, just wait. Don't bring it up now. Just wait. wait till the morning, like, yeah. It's fine. Because, yeah, you've obviously been working with each other for a long time now, so yeah, it obviously does work.
It does
like you've
work.
Got a good thing going on there.
Yeah, it does work. It definitely is challenging, but we navigate through the challenges and seems to be doing okay.
Yeah, it's magic. So I'm going to get to the question that we're all here for, which is about burgers. So as the first non-meat eater, keep saying this, but I'm really excited to see where this is going to go, that we've got on. I am really, really interested in how and what you're going to say here. So the best burger you've ever had, where was it? What was in it?
So it's a difficult one for me because obviously I don't eat meat. And in my early years, a veggie burger just tasted like cardboard. So
you would avoid them, basically.
Then I remember inviting Steak and Honour to do a pop-up at the Country Kitchen, and I tried your shroom.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
Shroom's a good
that.
One, isn't it?
And
I like shroom.
I still do shroom. But obviously now I feel like it's overtaken by the Plant Mitchell. And I have to say, that is actually, not just because you're here, that is my favourite veggie burger.
I think I've had that before because we changed the patties to be on meat patties, and I'd never had one. So I was like, I want one to see what it tastes like. And I couldn't believe how good it was.
It's
I was
really
like
good.
Shocked.
But I think it's not just about the burger, it's the gherkins, the sauces that you put with them, and the bun, obviously. Like, I love the grain culture buns. So that for me is my favourite veggie burger because. I'm normally here, and if I'm not here, then I'm at home, and you guys come to
Haslingfield, yeah.
and so that's a real treat, and that's when I come and I get one. And then non-veggie burger, I have to kind of blow Greg's trumpet because he makes a really nice sea trout burger.
Oh my goodness, tell me more.
So that is, it's literally just a piece of fish cooked over the coal.
Yeah.
And a bit of sea trout, which is, I really like that as a fish. I think it's really tasty. And then he makes a yuzu kosho, which is like chilies fermented in salt and lime juice, and it just brings some real heat to the bun, to the burger, and a citrus mayo and some charred gem lettuce. I love that.
Charred gem lettuce is elite. Like, I love it. It is so delicious.
It becomes something completely different.
Totally. It's like the best thing. Loads of olive oil and salt and just charred. And with a grain culture milk bun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the best buns.
They are the best buns.
I feel like lots of burgers get let down by the bun.
Yeah.
And I went somewhere recently, which I won't name, and I had a burger, and I was like, the meat was great. Like, it was all great. The bun, it just disintegrated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's when you know, like, Lucas buns, they're just the best.
They are the best.
Because you do a fish finger,
sandwich. Yeah, we don't do that at the moment. We kind of, obviously, like, the menu changes all the time. That is, with the panko breadcrumbs, and definitely my most favourite veggie option is your Plant Mitchell.
And fish. I love the sound of this sea trout. So it's like fresh with the lime and the chili, and then the charring.
Yeah.
It sounds incredible. Is that on the menu? Can you bring that back on the menu?
Maybe we'll bring it back. It's not on the menu at the moment, but I would recommend. Even
have
if
you a
do
well
it in
Greg.
A deconstructed way at home or whatever, just try it.
That sounds amazing. And we've never had a fish burger mentioned so far, so I feel like I'm over the moon. Delicious. It sounds amazing. Well, that's it. So thanks so much for chatting to me today. I know you guys
me.
Are so busy, so I really appreciate it. And thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, another great episode. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again soon for another episode of Burger Bounce. Just to let you know, we've had some incredible past guests on Series 1 and Series 2. So if you haven't yet had a listen, go and check those episodes out. If you fancy grabbing a burger this week, our vans are parking up in and around Cambridge. Head to our socials at Steak and Honour for our full pitch schedule. We also have a restaurant on Wheeler Street in central Cambridge, right next to the Corn Exchange, with seating and a banging selection of local beers. Plus, you can find us serving at the Tivoli on Cheston Road 7 days a week. To stay up to date with all our news and offers, head to our website, steakandhonour.co.uk, and sign up to our newsletter.